outside, and all that sort of thing, but never had I thought of going in. Until one day, almost without warning, Jip hauled me by my finger right up to the window and so conducted himself that there was nothing for it but to take him in. I had not thought the place was there, to tell the truth, a modest-sized frontage in Regent Street, between the picture shop and the place where the chicks run about, just out of patent incubators. But there I was, sure enough. I had fancied it was down, near the circus, or round the corner in Oxford Street, or even in Holborn, always over the way and a little inaccessible it had been, with something of the mirage in its position. But here it was, now quite indisputably, and the fat end of Jip's pointing finger made a noise upon the glass.
"If I was rich," said Jip, dabbing a finger at the disappearing egg, "I'd buy myself that and that,"
which was the crying baby, very human,
"and that,"
which was a mystery, and called, so a neat card asserted, "buy one and astonish your friends."
"Anything," said Jip, "will disappear under one of those cones. I have read about it in a book. And there, Dada, is the vanishing halfpenny. Only they've put it this way up so's we can't see how it's done."
Jip, dear boy, inherits his mother's breeding, and he did not propose to enter the shop or worry in any way. Only, you know, quite unconsciously, he lugged my finger doorward, and he made his interest clear.
"That,"
he said, and pointed to the magic bottle. "If you had that," I said, at which promising inquiry he looked up with a sudden radiance.
"I could show it to Jessie,"
he said, thoughtful as ever of others. "It's less than 100 days to your birthday, Jibbles," I said, and laid my hand on the door handle. Jip made no answer, but his grip tightened on my finger, and so we came into the shop. It was no common shop, this. It was a magic shop, and all the prancing precedence Jip would have taken in the matter of mere toys was wanting. He left the burthen of conversation to me. It was a little, narrow shop, not very well lit, and the doorbell pinged again with a plaintive noise as we closed it behind us. For a moment or so, we were alone and could glance about us. There was a tiger and papier-mâché on the glass case that covered the low counter, a grave, kind-eyed tiger that waggled his head in a methodical manner. There were several crystal spheres, a china hand holding magic cards, a stock of magic fish bowls in various sizes, and an immodest magic hat that shamelessly displayed its springs. On the floor were magic mirrors, one to draw you out long and thin, one to swell your head and vanish your legs, and one to make you short and fat like a draft. And while we were laughing at these, the shopman, as I suppose, came in. At any rate, there he was behind the counter, a curious, sallow, dark man, with one ear larger than the other and a chin like the toe-cap of a boot.
"What can we have the pleasure?" he said, spreading his long magic fingers on the glass case,
and so with a start we were aware of him. "I want," I said, "to buy my little boy a few simple tricks."
"Legerdemain?" he asked. "Mechanical? Domestic?
Anything amusing?" said I.
Said the shopman, and scratched his head for a moment as if thinking.
Then quite distinctly he drew from his head a glass ball.
"Something in this way,"
he said, and held it out. The action was unexpected. I had seen the trick done at entertainments endless times before. It's part of the common stock of conjurers, but I had not expected it here.
"That's good," I said with a laugh.
"Isn't it?" said the shopman.
Jip stretched out his disengaged hand to take this object and found merely a blank palm.
"It's in your pocket," said the shopman,
and there it was. "How much will that be?" I asked.
"Oh, we make no charge for glass balls," said the shopman politely. "We get them,"
he picked one out of his elbow as he spoke, "free." He produced another from the back of his neck and laid it beside its predecessor on the counter. Jip regarded his ball sagely, then directed a look of inquiry at the two on the counter, and finally brought his round-eyed scrutiny to the shopman, who smiled.
"You may have those two,"
said the shopman,
"and if you don't mind, one..."